We will start this lecture by looking at what is an employee benefit trust. An employee benefit trust, or EBT, is a trust set up by an employer for the benefit of employees and directors and their spouses and dependents. An EBT is funded by contributions by either the employer or by individuals such as shareholders. Contributions can be in the form of shares in the employer company or cash or other property. The EBT will hold or invest the assets to produce income and gains. The EBT trustees will thereafter make distributions to the beneficiaries of the trust. Cash payments to employees out of the EBT will be liable to income tax and national insurance contributions. PAYE should be operated on such payments. Where non-cash benefits, for example, low-interest loans, are made available to an employee, such benefits are liable to income tax and Class 1A employer's NIC. An EBT is essentially a discretionary trust. Therefore, in the absence of special rules, transfers into the trust are chargeable transfers and the trust is subject to exit and principal charges. However, if certain conditions are satisfied, exemptions apply to the creation of employee trusts by close companies or by individuals. We will cover these below. We will also consider the IHT position on the transfer of property out of an EBT. Special inheritance tax treatment is given to EBTs provided that Section 86 of IHTA 1984 is satisfied. Section 86 applies where property is held on trust for the benefit of persons employed in a particular trade or profession, or employees or directors of a body carrying on a trade, or spouses, civil partners, relatives or descendants of employees or directors. In the case of employees, spouses and relatives, Section 86 applies, either if all or most of the employees or directors are included as beneficiaries of the EBT, or if the EBT is an approved share ownership plan, for example, a share incentive plan. We'll now consider the IHT advantages offered to EBTs falling within Section 86, starting with EBTs set up by close companies. Under Section 94, IHTA 1984, a transfer of value made by a close company can be apportioned back to the shareholders of the company. The amounts then apportioned are treated as chargeable lifetime transfers made by the shareholders. To the extent that the chargeable transfer exceeds annual exemptions and the available nil rate band, tax is payable at 20/80. The company is primarily liable for the tax, although the transfer will form part of the shareholder's cumulative clock. However, under Section 13, subsection 1, a disposition by a close company to an EBT is exempt from IHT, provided that the gifted property is held on trust for the benefit of employees in accordance with Section 86. Such a disposition is not a lifetime transfer of value and is not therefore apportioned back to shareholders if the beneficiaries of the trust include all or most of either the employees or directors of the close company or the employees or directors of any subsidiaries of the close company. Section 13, subsection 2, disapplies subsection 1 in circumstances where an EBT is set up by a close company and the trustees permit the trust property to be applied for the benefit of a shareholder or any person connected with the shareholder, or any person who has been a shareholder in the previous 10 years. Therefore, EBTs set up for the benefit of shareholders or other connected persons will not benefit from the special IHT treatment. IHT liabilities will therefore arise on both creation and on any subsequent distributions from the EBT. A shareholder in this context means a person entitled to at least 5% of the issued share capital or the company's assets in the event of a winding up. A connected person is defined very widely and will include relatives, in-laws, aunts and uncles, and nieces and nephews. This means that where a shareholder or his relatives can benefit from the trust, the transfer to the EBT by the close company will be a transfer of value and will be apportioned back to the shareholder. There is an exception in Section 13, Subsection 4, which says that Section 13, Subsection 2 will not be applied in cases where the trustees permit cash payments to be made to a shareholder which are chargeable to income tax in his hands. This will be the case where the shareholder is also an employee, because payments from EBTs to employees are taxed as employment income. In this case, there is no transfer of value on the transfer to the EBT. HMRC take the view that where the trust deed seems to exclude the shareholders from benefit, but nevertheless the shareholders do benefit, for example, by them taking a loan from the EBT, or by assigning funds from the EBT on sub-trusts for their benefit, or for the benefit of their family, an IHT charge arises under Section 94 because the funds have been applied for the benefit of the shareholders. It remains in dispute whether a loan from the EBT at fully commercial terms and at a rate of interest in excess of the HMRC official rate is, in fact, a benefit. Looking now at transfers to EBTs by individuals. Under Section 28, IHTA 1984, a transfer by an individual to an EBT is an exempt transfer for IHT, subject to the following conditions. The property transferred must be shares in the employer company. The beneficiaries of the trust must be all or most of the employees and directors of the company. Within 1 year of the transfer, the trustees must own more than 50% of the ordinary shares of the company and have majority voting rights, and the trust does not permit any of the property to be applied for the benefit of a shareholder or any person connected with a shareholder or any person who has been a shareholder in the previous 10 years. A shareholder in this context means a person entitled to at least 5% of the issued share capital or the company's assets in the event of a winding up. A connected person will include relatives, in-laws, aunts and uncles, and nieces and nephews. As with transfers by close companies, there is an exception where the trustees permit cash payments to be made to a shareholder which are chargeable to income tax in his hands. Therefore, if the shareholder is also an employee, the payment from the EBT will be taxed as employment income. In this case, there is no transfer of value on the transfer to the EBT. If Section 28 does not apply, there is no IHT exemption. Therefore, the transfer to the trust will be a chargeable lifetime transfer. Section 12 of IHTA provides potential relief for contributions by individuals or close companies to EBTs which would otherwise be treated as chargeable transfers. Under Section 12, a disposition by any person, be that an individual or a company, is not treated as a transfer of value for IHT if that payment is allowable in computing that person's profits for income tax or corporation tax purposes. Therefore, assume a close company makes a transfer to an EBT under which the shareholders can benefit. In this case, the transfer would not be ignored as Section 13, Subsection 2 would deny the exemption. The transfer by the close company would then be chargeable to IHT and would be apportioned back to the shareholders. However, if the payment would be deductible in calculating the company's profits for corporation tax purposes, the transfer by the close company is disregarded for IHT by virtue of Section 12. The key to relief under Section 12 is therefore the availability of the corporation tax deduction. In practice, a claim under Section 12 can often be difficult to achieve as a result of the introduction of Schedule 24 of Finance Act 2003, which is now Sections 1290 to 1296 of the Corporation Tax Act of 2009. For corporation tax purposes, a contribution to an EBT is allowable in the year in which payments are made to or benefits are received by the employee. Therefore, no corporation tax deduction is usually given in the year in which the contribution to the EBT is made. As the contribution made by the close company to the EBT is not deductible in the year of payment, HMRC take the view that this denies any relief under Section 12. If there is no relief under Section 12, the transfer to the EBT by the close company, for the benefit of its shareholders, will be chargeable to IHT. there is no provision to treat the close company disposition as a transfer of value for IHT in the year of payment and then repay any IHT in the year in which the corporation tax deduction is achieved. Another possible way of securing IHT exemption on a transfer to an EBT is via Section 10 of IHTA. Under Section 10, contributions to EBTs are disregarded for IHT purposes where it could be argued that the transferor did not intend to confer a gratuitous benefit on the trustees. The argument in favour of a Section 10 claim is that payments are made at arm's length to the EBT purely for the purposes of remunerating the employees. This is a commercial decision undertaken in the normal course of business. HMRC's view is that, by its very nature, an EBT is a discretionary trust. Therefore, to satisfy the conditions of Section 86, the trustees must have unfettered discretion over the trust assets. Therefore, as the employer cannot be sure how the trustees will exercise their discretion, it is by no means certain that payments will be made to employees by way of remuneration. As such, there must be some gratuitous intent by whoever makes a contribution to the trust. Therefore, the Section 10 defence will be denied. This is an ongoing issue. Looking briefly at business property relief. Assume an individual transfers shares to an EBT and Section 28 is not satisfied. For example, control of the company does not pass to the trustees, or the trust is for the benefit of the shareholders. In this case, a chargeable transfer will arise. This transfer may be eligible for BPR. This will be the case if the shares transferred to the EBT are unlisted shares in a trading company which have been held for at least 2 years. Turning next to the tax effects of distributions from an EBT. Where the EBT satisfies Section 86, there is usually no exit charge on a distribution from the trust, and there is no principal charge on the 10-year anniversary. The following situations will cause there to be an exit charge on an appointment from an EBT. 1. Where property ceases to be held on a qualifying employee trust other than via distribution of the trust property. This may be the case if the trust starts as an EBT, but at some point thereafter ceases to be an EBT and instead becomes, say, a non-employee trust. 2. Where a payment is made to a person, or to a person connected with him, who has provided any of the trust property by amounts exceeding £1,000 in any tax year. Essentially, there is a charge on contributors, that is, settlors, to the trust who subsequently receive a benefit. 3. Where the employment is with a close company and a shareholder receives a payment. A shareholder in this context meaning someone owning 5% or more of the share capital or assets on a winding up. 4. Where the trustees make a disposition, otherwise than by way of a payment out of trust property, as a result of which the value of trust property is reduced. Such a disposition could include a failure to exercise a right or any other omission which causes a loss to the trust. In the case of 4 above, HMRC accept that no charge arises if the trustees did not intend to confer gratuitous benefit on the transferee. Where a distribution is made from an EBT to a shareholder who is also an employee, there will be a charge to income tax on the distribution. In this case, there will not be an exit charge. Finally, in this session, we'll look at capital gains tax implications of transferring property to an employee benefit trust. A transfer of shares by either an individual or by a close company to an EBT will be a disposal for CGT purposes. Under basic principles, the transfer will be deemed to have taken place at market value as it will not be a bargain at arm's length. Assuming that the market value of the assets transferred exceeds the CGT base cost, the disposal will give rise to a chargeable gain in the hands of the transferor. However, Section 239 of TCGA 1992 specifically applies to disposals to trustees of employee trusts. Under Section 239, subject to certain conditions, the transaction will not be deemed to have been carried out at market value. Instead, if the transferor sells the shares to the trustees at a price above his CGT base cost, any gain will be limited to the actual gain realized, and If the transfer is a gift for no consideration or a sale for a price below the CGT base cost, the transfer is treated as taking place at no gain, no loss. This relief is automatic and does not require a claim. The key conditions of Section 239 are that the disposal should be an exempt transfer for the purposes of either Section 13 IHTA 1984, in the case of a transfer of shares by a close company, or Section 28 IHTA 1984, in the case of a transfer of shares by an individual. Remember that to secure IHT exemption, the beneficiaries of the EBT must be the employees of the company, as opposed to the shareholders or their families. If a gain arises on a transfer to an EBT, then gift relief might be available. Gift relief may be claimed under Section 165 TCJA 1992, where the transferor is an individual and the shares gifted are either in an unlisted trading company or in a personal trading company. Gift relief is restricted where the company holds investment assets or where there is a sale at undervalue and the proceeds received exceed the CGT base cost. Gift relief is not available if the transferor can benefit from the EBT. There are no practice examples in this session. That concludes this lecture on employee benefit trusts.